This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com, Greens Plus,
and Sex Panther Cologne by Odeon. It's made with real bits of panther, so you know it's good.
Yeah, that's quite pungent. I'm going to be honest with you, that smells like pure gasoline.
They've done studies, you know. 60% of the time, it works every time.
That makes no sense. Anyways, this is the FitCast. I'm Kevin Larrabee.
And I'm John Williams.
And with us this week, we have a special guest, Lou Schuler.
Dr. John Berardi.
One-on-one with Craig Ballantyne.
One-on-one interview with Bill Hartman.
I'm Eric Cressy.
Can't forget our shakes this week.
It's a hell of a super shake.
Yeah, let's start off with this week's news. Need any updates for the FitCast to get the show notes with all the links for the show, just go to thefitcast.com for all your FitCast needs. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast, FitCast episode number 12 for July 2nd, 2006. My name's Kevin Larrabee.
And this is John Williams.
And this week we are bringing it to you from separate houses, but we will not be doing so on July 28th. We're actually have final date set up for the live FitCast. I guess you could call them live, but it's recorded. But me and John are actually going to be looking at each other.
That's right.
While we do it, so.
Which would be kind of odd because we've never actually met face to face.
No, and it's. I mean,
you know, we're gonna be like, you don't look like the way I thought you. It's gonna be awesome though. Come to Denver. We'll hang out all weekend. You know. It'd be cool if we could, like, have some sort of hiking trip or some sort of, you know, recreation.
And, yeah.
We could do, like, a podcast from there, like a little video segment.
Definitely.
You can follow me to the skate park.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely going to have to get some skate park footage.
Nice. Yeah, it's going to be a blast. I'm so excited that you're coming down.
Yeah, it worked out pretty well thanks to JetBlue and their red-eye flights. It only came up to about $400 for round trip, so.
God bless JetBlue.
Yeah, I can't complain. I mean, I won't be sleeping on Sunday and Monday, but that's all right. It's going to be a good time, and it's going to be well worth it. And
oh, yeah.
Going to have tons of footage to get you. We hope to shoot maybe 4 or 5 video FitCast segments. Again, those are only like 5 to 7 minutes long, possibly 8 minutes long. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be doing some brainstorming to see what we come up with, and hopefully we'll have some interesting stuff for all you FitCast listeners out there.
Yeah, for sure. And Kevin, did you want to mention the update on the website with the my friend's picture?
Oh yeah, well we have a couple mentions on the website. First off, there has been an update to the site with picture of John's friend, which is quite awesome.
Yeah, how's the traffic on the website these days?
It's pretty good. We've had a lot of people going to the site. Like, it's amazing how the show has been growing over the last couple of months. It's surprising how many hits we're getting on the site. And
nice.
It's just growing, and we also have a picture of Eric Cressy wearing his FitCast t-shirt.
I saw that. That was awesome. He's squatting, like, I don't know, 400 pounds or something crazy. I can't even see the weights on the bar, but it's bending, so it looks pretty heavy.
Yeah, he was down at Southside with the
nice
rusted barbell, which was a nice touch. And he informed me that they have no air conditioning, so it's extra hardcore at Southside.
Awesome. We always love to get pictures of friends. So thanks to Eric, and thanks Jamie also. Jamie's my friend who modeled in the t-shirt.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, guys. And also, we have another Jamie that actually his picture's on the site, too. He won one of the FitCast t-shirt contests back a while ago, and he is now on the site if you want to check that out. And we gave away a ton of FitCast t-shirts this week. I think I gave away like 11 or 12.
Nice.
To the winners of the Super Shake contest, I'm going to send them all a FitCast t-shirt. And also, I just did a random contest promoting one of our new sponsors, which was another part of our news, is Greens Plus, is now officially one of our sponsors, as you heard in the intro. We now have the Greens Plus ad, and also we have the TurbulenceTraining.com ad up on the website. And also, if you want to get a copy of Gourmet Nutrition or Precision Nutrition, you can go to thefitcast.com as well and go through there to pick up a copy of that.
all kinds of good stuff going on at the website these days.
There has been some problems. People have been complaining of it not working in Internet Explorer. I'm going to do my best to see what I can do to fix that. I'm going to have some time later this week to fool around with that. But for right now, if you're having problems looking at the website, try downloading Firefox, which is another web browser, and it's pretty much safer than Internet Explorer, but
much less of a hassle. Just all around a better product.
Yeah.
Everybody should switch over to Firefox.
And also, if your company only allows you to use Internet Explorer 7 Beta 3, I know I'm getting a little nerdy here, but that also works with the fitcast.com if you want to get the new beta for the new version of Internet Explorer. So I'm sorry about that, and I'm going to try to get that up and running as good as I can in the next coming days, so keep a lookout for that.
And exciting news, Kevin and I are running the show by ourselves this week, but next week, by popular demand, Cassandra Forsythe is coming on, and she's going to talk about her new project with Lou Schuler and several other of her new projects, and it's just going to be nice to get the perspective of a woman on the FitCast. It's been a very sort of testosterone-driven podcast so far. But, yeah, good news from her. She's in the process of moving, so she couldn't join us this week, but next week she'll be all settled, and we're looking forward to talking with her.
And also, along with that, Lou Schuler has actually announced that the book has got the go-ahead. So
nice.
I guess it's officially off the ground, and we'll see what comes up in the future with that.
The book with Cassandra called Lift Like a Man, didn't
yes.
you say is that what it was called? Right. So it's going to be talking about fitness, nutrition specifically for women, and how they can maximize their efforts in the gym. And there's a little hint, doesn't involve leg warmers and cheesy Boston remix techno videos.
Oh, no. Absolutely not. But otherwise, we should jump into this week's shakes. This week, I'm not drinking the same shake that I got from Galia. Again, I'm pronouncing her name correctly this week.
That's right. I didn't realize I had dyslexia until last week when I was trying to pronounce Galia, and I read it as Gala. So my apologies. But Kevin, you're drinking her shake this week?
No, I'm actually I went back to a peanut butter and chocolate shake because I swear I have at least one of those a day.
Those are awesome. It's something about what's the flavored milk? What's it called?
I forget. It's Carb Countdown.
Carb Countdown, right. Something about that particular flavoring they put in there together with peanut butter is just an incredible mixture.
Yeah, it's I can't get enough of them.
Yeah, I'm sorry to our Canadian friends who are listening who don't have Carb Countdown in Canada, but I don't know. You can try to mess around with various chocolate protein powders, but man, it's just not the same in my experience.
I'm not going to be going to the bathroom this week as I did last week. There's actually a post up on the forum right before we started recording the show. People are trying to see at what time during the show I'm going to be going to the bathroom.
Nice.
But I promise that won't happen this week because John will just be talking to himself if that does happen.
Yeah, that's nothing new, though. Yeah, between your bathroom breaks and my phone ringing, that's and my dog and God knows what. We've got some serious interruptions in the show.
How about you, John? Yeah. What are you drinking this week?
Well, my shake, I came upon a nice little, very simple but delicious shake for early day. You know, I'm 2 hours behind you, mm-hmm. Kevin, here on Mountain Time. So it's still sort of early in the day for me. And what I did, you know, I had some coffee this morning, and you know, I turned off my coffee pot, and I still had about a half pot of coffee, and sat there for the day. It got cold, and I came home just before this podcast, and I was like, what am I going to do for my shake? And flipping through Gourmet Nutrition, I was like, I've had all those, you know, 100 times. But I had some Muscle Milk cookies and cream. I got this last week. So I just mixed some of the cookies and cream, some ice, and some of that coffee. Some cold coffee, and oh man, it's so good. It tastes like a frappuccino. You know, I kid you not, it's like a frappuccino. You know, the cookies and cream from Muscle Milk has a milky enough flavor that and sweet enough that it gives it a perfect texture. And I'm just I'll be zipping through this podcast today, loopy on caffeine for sure.
I never would have thought of that, mixing coffee with something like Muscle Milk.
Yeah, you know, I've done it before just to make iced coffee, and you know, I don't like using milk because I, you know, it kind of gives me a weird jittery feeling afterwards with milk. But you know, I pour cold coffee over ice, but man, this Muscle Milk is just some good stuff. Good stuff to mix it with. So cookies and cream, I would recommend. I'm sure there are some other flavors from Muscle Milk that would go well with coffee too.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get some of that Muscle Milk soon. I've only gone through one tub, and that was about 2 years ago. So I gotta get to bodybuilding.com or something like that and pick up some of that.
Yeah, Muscle Milk. I'm lucky. I used to order it online too, and you can get it for about $20 a tub at bodybuilding.com, but then you have to pay for shipping. But there's a nutrition store down the street from my work that sells it for $20 a tub. You know, and that's pretty unprecedented for a store. You know, that's not online, but that has to pay overhead and all this other stuff. So, good stuff. They have all the flavors. So, Muscle Milk is good stuff. You know, not necessarily something you want to drink when you're really trying to lean out. You could, of course, but it does have some extra fat and extra calories, but it's good for me when I'm needing those calories for sure.
Absolutely. Well, I guess I'll pretty much wrap it up for this week's shakes. Now we'll jump into this week's news. Our first article this week is called Personal Trainers Available by Download. I found this on the NewYorkTimes.com. And basically, I like this article a lot because it's talking about some things that are happening in the fitness industry right now where, with the growing popularity of iPods and gyms, trainers are actually taking advantage of that by making their workouts available as downloads. They can be transferred onto the iPods, and the download can include both audio and video, where the video is just showing proper form, say for squats or for barbell rows. And you can actually put that on a video iPod or just use the audio format on a regular iPod. And through the headphones, like, you'll hear the trainer giving instructions like lifting tempo and inspiring messages. And it sounds like a pretty neat idea, and it's starting to take off with a few websites that are selling the downloadable workouts for about $20 each, which will give you about a month or two of workouts. And also, I'm really interested because I'm looking forward to seeing what some of the popular trainers like from T-Nation or Craig Ballantyne, if they're going to jump onto this too and offer their workouts as downloadable for an iPod. And I think it could be a great resource to be able to make some extra money with their programs.
Yeah, I think so. You know, my first impression of the article after reading it, I thought, well, that's probably not going to work. It sounds good in theory, but most of the personal trainers I know tell me that they're more like therapists than trainers. You know, that a lot of people just hire personal trainers just to have like a buddy in the gym to vent about their wife or their husband or whatever. But there's certainly a market. Once I thought about it, and like you said, Kevin, there's certainly a market. I would definitely purchase some of the new, you know, workout routines from whatever trainers I'm into. And so I think, people like us, there would be a demand for that. I wouldn't mind paying $1, you know, for like a song, you know, for a downloadable, you know, this week's workout or whatnot.
I was thinking about this a little bit after I read it that what if Lou Schuler was reading the workouts to you while you're at the gym and he just like, well, you probably have like maybe 200 pounds on the bench and you're just bringing the weight down and he pops a joke at you and you drop the weight on your chest.
That you just scared Lou off. Now he's going to be like, oh, I'm going to get lawsuits. Yeah, no kidding. That would be great. Lou would be a perfect person for it because he's like your big brother, you know, when you talk to him. So he could egg you on in the gym to lift more weight.
I'm going to be honest. I've been lazy, and I just finished The New Rules of Lifting, actually reading through the book.
Right.
And he does such a great job with his books, and just that's a great read. It's actually enjoyable to read.
Yeah. I mean, he's got true talent in writing, and it's hard to tell when you first pick up one of his books because, you know, it's he's tailoring it towards, you know, the layman or like a friend type of writing. But once you would get down and start reading it, you're like, man, it does take a lot of talent to portray this sort of sophisticated information in such an easygoing manner, you know? Mm-hmm. So I love that book too. And I'm actually still doing those workouts from New Rules. And thanks to Lou, he sent me a complimentary copy of the book some time ago. So thanks again for that, Lou.
Also, I just wanted to mention that The Testosterone Advantage Plan, another book that Lou wrote, is actually on sale for $5 on Amazon.com. So that's a no-brainer if you can go pick it up on Amazon.
Gee, $5. How do they get away with that?
And that's the hardcover.
Nice.
So it's like $8 with shipping. So if you don't have Testosterone Advantage Plan, jump to Amazon.com and pick up a copy. It's probably the greatest $5 you'll ever spend in your life.
Completely off topic, but Kevin, you ever see this website, The Best Page in the Universe by Maddox?
Oh, a long time ago.
Yeah, maybe yeah, like it's been around forever. Ago. Yeah. Well, he published a real book. You can order it on Amazon. It's called The Alphabet of Manliness. And I ordered it. You know, it's like his website, except in a book, and it just has me rolling every night before I go to bed. And my girlfriend Sarah is just like, "What in the hell are you reading?" You know, it's got crazy pictures in it. It's $10 though on Amazon. I would recommend it for a slapstick book.
I might have to pick that up then. For $10, give me some reading material on the way to Denver.
That's right. You could definitely read it in like an hour if you wanted to.
Sounds good.
Well, let's see. Does that take care of our first news article? Are you going to talk more about the podcast fitness routines?
Oh, no. I mean, I just think everyone should just download the Fitcast. I mean, you don't need this workout on your iPod. Just get the Fitcast. It's just as good. I mean, we just had someone that was talking on the forums and said that his squat weight actually went up, I think, 25 pounds when he listened to the Fitcast. I'm not joking. This is a true story.
Yeah, I saw that thread. It was awesome. He had better results than he did with the John Baystyle videos, even. So that's something.
We're making our way up in the industry. I have to just say that the results aren't guaranteed. Results may vary. Sorry.
Yeah, by up to, what, 67%?
Yeah, about that.
Something like that. Okay. Well, the second news article, something I was looking at today, was from the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, and the article is Fruit and Vegetables, the Unexpected Natural Answer to the Question of Osteoporosis Prevention. And, I can hear the cheers out there from our listeners saying, oh, another scientific article from John. But it's actually fascinating that it's yet another reason to enjoy our fruits and vegetables, But first of all, there are global estimates for the next year or two that 1 in 3 women and 1 in 10 men aged over 55 years will have osteoporosis in their lifetime. And this study took a look at the benefits of a high fruit and vegetable intake on this particular issue. Now, we already know that vegetables and fruits help prevent heart disease and various forms of cancer in the stomach and bowels and even breast cancer. And more recently, as we talked about on episode, I don't know, 3 or 4, I think, it helps prevent stroke, the chances of having a stroke. Well, this study examined association between fruit and vegetable consumption and bone mineral status, and basically found that doubling the fruit intake results in a 5% increment in spine bone mineral content. So what does that mean for us? Well, it helps prevent bone breakdown and atrophy of the bones. And the reason they think this is happening is because perhaps they're witnessing the alkalizing effects of fruit and vegetables on this acid-base balance issue that we've discussed before when John Berardi was on the show. And, one of our sponsors, Green Plus, obviously helps achieve this acid-base balance and helps prevent some of these nasty side effects of getting in this imbalance in your acid base. Obviously, fruit and veggies play this important role for the skeleton and this acid base homeostasis, and they basically act as a buffer, and this preserves the body's pH and our defense against against acid-base disorders. So yet another reason to eat your daily greens plus and your daily whole fruits and veggies. I just thought it was a quite interesting study.
No, that's great. I think that, I mean, there's nothing out there saying that vegetables and fruits are going to hurt you, so they're all benefits.
That's right.
I mean, everything from, like, greens plus, like John said, to just throwing in just a serving of fruits or vegetables in every meal. And, hell, I mean, fruit's like almost like candy. It's got sugar in it. It's got fructose, so.
Yeah, yeah. Tastes and good. Fruits are one of the healthiest for you, too. That stroke study was actually dealing with fruits. You know, like, each serving of fruit reduces your stroke by 30% or something crazy like that. So it's good. You know, also, I saw an article on TMAG last week, written by TC, something about nutritional experiments, and he mentioned the Mentos and the Diet Coke geysers. You know, we were talking about that with JP last week. But he was saying that, you know, in this barbecue season, obviously July 4th is right around the corner, you know, everybody keeps scaring us with this chance of cancer from barbecuing meat. You know, the fat from the meat drops on the hot coals or on the propane, and then the gases come up and re-enter the meat. And when you eat that, it increases your risk of getting various cancers. But you can offset that, as TC noted in this article, with vegetables with high antioxidant levels, and particularly vitamin C and green bell peppers and red bell peppers of this variety. So if you go ahead and throw some bell peppers on the grill along with your slab of meat, then at least it can, you know, it can ward off some of this risk of cancer.
Yeah, so make some have kebabs.
Have your kebabs, have your meat. I was telling Kevin before the show, we just had a huge barbecue at our house on Friday with about 20 people. And I had various smoked chickens and bratwursts and hamburgers, and people brought over all kinds of sides and veggies, and that was a good time. So I don't feel quite as guilty after eating my vegetables with the grilled meat.
There's nothing wrong with that. Well, let's jump into our third story this week. And it's, again, I'm getting it from the NewYorkTimes.com because I frequent there and I like their articles. But this one is actually on high fructose corn syrup. We've talked about this in the past, but I just found a great article on high fructose corn syrup debating whether it could be linked to the rise in obesity since its debut. And Dr. William Willett, the chairman of the Nutrition Department of Harvard School of Public Health, said that there's no substantial evidence to support this idea of high fructose corn syrup is somehow responsible for obesity. Even the two scientists, Popkin and Bray, who were actually the first who propagated the idea of the unique link between high fructose corn syrup and America's soaring obesity rates, have gently backed off their initial theories. They're saying that those theories were just meant to be a suggestion and that they would inspire further study. And also, this article went into the manufacturing of products that use high fructose corn syrup, and they said that manufacturers had always been able to buy the sweeteners at prices 20 to 70% less than those of sugar. In a 1983 article in Fortune magazine, one beverage analyst estimated that by switching to high fructose corn syrup, Coca-Cola gained a cost advantage over Pepsi and its bottlers by over $70 million a year. A year later, Pepsi followed in Coke's footsteps and also began using the sweetener. So basically, this is just another story of high fructose corn syrup. And it makes a good point. And it's basically just saying that you can't blame high fructose corn syrup for all the problems with obesity in America. There are many more factors, from just decreased activity from our youth and even adults. And just people not eating right overall. I mean, you could eat couple of cans of peanut butter, and that's not going to be as good. It's just going to be as bad, as having a couple of cans of Coke.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was a really good article, too. You know, fair and balanced. Of course, always from the New York Times, they always have, like, these humongous articles, like, you know, 3 pages long. But it was a really good article, and I think they brought up a very important point, and they sort of subtly suggested that about this woman they had in their story who always avoids high fructose corn syrup. You know, she reads all the ingredients on every food container and only buys organic. Well, you know, it's not the devil, high fructose corn syrup. It's not good for you, but it's, you know, what, there are certain properties that it may be worse, a little worse for you than table sugar, you know, cane or beet sugar, but it's still unproven. What's bad about it is that, you know, the corn subsidies in America has made it so cheap to make high fructose corn syrup that they've been putting it in everything. And like you said, you know, Coca-Cola has profited enormously from it. And obviously Pepsi jumped on the bandwagon right after that. And you know, if you have this source of calories that tastes great to people because it's so sweet and it's so cheap, you're going to put it in everything. So since, you know, of course our obesity rates have been increasing as high fructose corn syrup has become more popular on the market or more available, but it's not necessarily the fault of high fructose corn syrup so much as it is the fault of the cheapness of using it and the ubiquity of it and everything. You know, you can see it in ketchup to you know, breads. Now,
even
Dan
and yogurt as well. It said yogurt, which is kind of surprising, and tomato soup.
Right. But saying that, you know, you can't look at the ingredients on a loaf of bread and say, oh my God, there's high fructose corn syrup way down on the list. I'm going to choose this one instead that has I don't know, cane sugar. Well, you know, the little bit of sugar they use in bread to make the yeast work isn't going to affect you. And it's like, you know, I don't know, 4 calories of sugars per slice of bread or something like this. So it's good to know that to avoid sugary foods, but if you're choosing one type of sugar over high fructose corn syrup and not realizing that you're loading your body with empty calories anyway, then that's sort of self-defeating in itself.
I thought it was interesting as well. In the article, they stated that right when high fructose corn syrup hit the market, that's when you saw fast food manufacturers like McDonald's and Burger King, the sizes of their sodas jumped way mm-hmm. up. Same thing with 7-Eleven, I think it was.
Yeah, the Big Gulp. And it was, the Big Gulp came out right about then.
I loved Big Gulps when I was a kid. But, I mean, seriously, you can get 64 ounces of soda for like a buck. But
Yeah, it costs nothing to them, you know.
Exactly. I mean, that's kind of what they're saying, is the portion sizes went up. So either way, there was still going to be sugar in the sodas, but the serving size went up by about double.
Right.
So that's where you see, if you're getting more sugar either way, whether it's high fructose corn syrup or it could just be cane sugar, you're screwed either way.
Right. Yeah, good article.
Definitely worth a read. I just want to mention that was called A Sweetener with a Bad Rap. It was on New York Times. And as always, all the links to the articles that we mentioned are on the fitcast.com. Don't forget to check that out for all your Fitcast needs. Sorry I had to get that in there.
All right, well, moving on to our last article. The last article is titled Pomegranate Juice Can Help Fight Prostate Cancer. And basically it's sort of a promising study that a daily glass of pomegranate juice can hold back prostate cancer and could even prevent men dying of this disease. One red flag in this article, obviously, if you read down towards the end, some critics of it are saying that the study itself lacks independence, since it was funded by a trust called the Stuart and Linda Resnick Trust, and this has been shown to be tied in with the pomegranate products, so they may have some financial interests behind this study. But you know, until more comes out, we should be skeptical, but it is sort of promising. What they found is just 1 8-ounce glass of this pomegranate juice per day increased the stability period of prostate cancer 4-fold in men who did have prostate cancer. And pomegranate juice is one of the highest, or pomegranates are some of the, has some of the highest levels of antioxidants, and there are various antioxidants in pomegranate that are actually responsible for this, they think. Not only obviously is it helping to prevent the advancement of prostate cancer, but they actually found evidence that the pomegranate juice was killing the prostate cancer cells. So that's really impressive in my mind. They didn't test the preventative effects upon pomegranate juice, but it's something that, you know, after reading this study, I'll probably go out and find some pomegranate juice. Now, I'll obviously read the label and make sure it's not loaded with high fructose corn syrup, as most juices are. I mean, who knows? Maybe you can also buy whole pomegranates. That would be the best source, I'm sure. I'll try to work on a recipe for you guys involving pomegranates. But yeah, it's just another something. I love finding these articles showing the effects of some fruit or vegetable or whatever, some source of nutrition that I'm currently not eating. And I don't think I've ever had pomegranate juice. Or if I have, yeah, I have. Once in Israel, I think I had a cup. But it's something that, you know, I'd like to at least incorporate into my diet on a semi-regular basis.
Yeah, I thought that was a good article as well. I mean, I haven't even tried a pomegranate in my life. So I think it's about time I just kind of branch out. And I was just always one of those kids that was very fussy and was very selective with their food. And just in the last couple of years, I branched out into trying fish for the first time ever about 6 months ago.
Nice. So believe it or never not, tried fish before 6 months ago?
No, I just didn't like the I just didn't like the smell of it, but I mean,
it's quite pungent.
Yeah, it is, but it's good. It was just like chicken, and it's pretty. It just has a different texture, and you just gotta take a shot. Just try everything once. That's all I gotta say. And that's what I've been doing lately. I never tried broccoli till 2 years ago, and now it's probably my favorite vegetable.
Nice. So. What fish did you have for the first time?
I think it was just. I don't know. I got it at Applebee's. What do they sell at Applebee's?
That's some sort of white fish.
Yeah, it was just a white fish. It was just seemed kind of plain, but
yeah. Well, that's cool. That's surprising since you live fairly close to the coast.
I know. Everyone gives
chowder or something.
Yeah, everyone gives me crap for not eating lobster and chowder, as we call
chowder.
It over in the Boston area. But
hey, you know, I was. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, I like meat, I like chicken, and I was doing all right with that, but like I said, just try some things. Like, you might never know that you might try a new vegetable that you love. Like, I just tried avocado 4 days ago because I was going to make a super shake with it, and I actually liked it.
Nice.
I just never thought of having it before, and I just went to the store, I picked one up, I was doing some grocery shopping, and they're pretty good. They have kind of a different texture. But,
It's a little smooth texture, creamy. You know, I've never met anyone who doesn't like avocado. It's pretty impressive. Most people are turned off. Or most of your friends, if you get a group of friends together and you try to feed them some sort of vegetable or fruit, somebody's going to be turned off by that vegetable or fruit. But I've yet to meet someone who doesn't like avocados. Maybe someone out there listening doesn't like them and they'll let us know. I'm sure they're out there, but I haven't met one yet. But yeah, I was in a similar boat when I was, I think I was about 9 years old. I ate a big thing of shrimp and suddenly my feet and hands started swelling up and I got this huge rash all over my torso.
Oh my God.
And they had to rush me to the hospital and, you know, they gave me like a steroid shot and Benadryl to reduce the inflammation, and I was allergic to seafood, and it happened a couple other times. You know, I tried it, you know, like when I was 12 and again when I was 16 or so. So I didn't have seafood until I was, well, between the time when I had to stop eating it and I was about in my mid-20s when I finally started, you know, trying it again. I didn't have any adverse effects to me, so... So I'm a seafood newbie also of some sorts. I've been on it for a good 9 years now, but yeah, I was also there with you, Kevin. So we're exploring the seafood realm yet again.
Sounds good. We might have to try out some. I'll eat some fish when I'm in Denver. I'll say that.
You know, yeah, I'll grill some salmon for you. Something about grilled salmon is just so good.
Yeah, salmon. I think that's what it was that we had at Applebee's.
Ah, okay.
A fine restaurant establishment. Free gift certificates. Free gift certificates.
Yeah.
You listen.
Who knows? Well, cool. That wraps up our news, doesn't it?
Yeah, that pretty much wraps it up for this week's news. We do have a short roundtable scheduled for this week. Basically, it's just the question, how do you stay on track with your workout and your diet? And I'll just jump in first. Pretty much the inspiration for this roundtable involves a couple people on the JP Fitness boards that were talking about kind of slipping off their workouts and slipping out of their diets and not being able to stay on track. And just a couple tips that I've picked up over the last couple of years. For the workouts, that's never been a problem for me. I could always get to the gym. I'd work out 7 days a week if I could eat whatever I want. But it's always been the diet that's hard to stick with, at least until you get into like a good groove of eating clean for maybe 2 weeks or so. And just something as dumb as it might sound, I put like 2 Sharpie marks on my hands, where I'd always see them. Just like I wrote an A on one side and a D on the other for when I was on doing the Adams diet. It sounds really like almost childish, and everyone was always asking me, "Oh, what is that A and the D for? Like, what's that for?" And I was just like, I always had to make up some kind of crazy story because I didn't want to admit that. Oh, I'm just doing this Adams diet and I'm trying to stay on track, and it worked. Like every time, like you grab for something, you're gonna see that on your hands. It might look weird to everyone else, but it somewhat worked for me. And always having like an inspirational picture seems to work for a lot of people. Inspirational picture on the refrigerator or near the like food cupboard, and I swear that works for me. If I see that, I'm just gonna be like, you know what? I think I want that more than I want to have some like cookies or whatever. So,
yeah, I mean, it's all good points. I agree with you about sort of the maintaining passion about it is basically what you have to do. And I've been at sort of the weightlifting game for over 10 years now, and when you first start weightlifting, it's easy to maintain it because you're seeing the newbie gains, and I'm sure that transfers over to any sort of physical activity, you know, whether or not you start running, or you start to see some of the fat shed off, whatever your goals are, they're going to come quick at first, but a lot of people start failing after they stop seeing those gains, after they sort of plateau. Then they sort of go back to some of their older habits that they were trying to prevent in the first place. And, you know, I've been there before too, and I've been through a lot of stuff, but like I said, I think the key is to sort of change your paradigm frequently, you know, to maintain that passion. And another thing is the frequency of your workouts. You have to find a frequency that's not going to burn you out, but it's not going to be so infrequent that you start to sort of doubt that you want to get into the gym. I don't know about you, Kevin, but you know, if I work out 3 times a week is the minimal I can be in the gym and still feel okay about it. If I go less than 3 times a week, then I start getting a little depressed. I start thinking, I don't really want to go into the gym. It starts to become a chore, you know?
Oh yeah, I mean that's the thing. Like I sometimes get into a groove where I could honestly go to the gym 6 days a week like I do right now. I go to the gym 6 days a week, and when I don't go to the gym, it just feels like my day's off, like something's wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of times it's just hard to drag your lazy ass into the gym. You know, I don't want to do it frequently, but I find it that there's a certain number of days per week that if you go in, it makes it a lot more easier to go in each time. You know, I think 4 times a week is about perfect for me. And also, you know, for achieving different goals, it's important that it's fun. Like people don't like to do cardio. People don't like to run on a treadmill. And I've always done stuff, recreation, that's both fun and, you know, it helps with your fitness. From backpacking to snowboarding to recently skateboarding, I do that on Tuesday, Thursdays. You know, I started doing that for cardio, and talk about some fun cardio. I can't wait to get out of the office for lunch to get out there to the skate park, you know. and I burn a ton of calories doing that too, and something like that. You know, find something that's both fun to do and good for you, and you know, don't restrict yourself to one particular thing. you know, I wouldn't give up weightlifting by any means just to do whatever recreation I want to do. Something I've noticed is if you, you know, it's nice to look in the mirror and see yourself looking better, but it's also nice to use your newfound strength from strength training and your newfound endurance from your cardio training in various activities, whether it be mountain biking. And, you know, I used to skate when I was in high school and early college, and I didn't work out at that time. And I find, you know, ironically, I'm 34 years old now, and I find it a lot easier to do the things I was doing when I was 18 on a skateboard because I'm a lot more fit. You know, I've been to the gym so much since then that my body's in better shape than it was then. So, yeah, it's inspiring to be able to, as you get older, to do things that you couldn't when you were in, quote-unquote, in the prime of your life, you know.
Yeah, definitely keep it fun. Find a couple buddies that you like to play basketball with, even something like a softball league. I mean, right now during the summertime, there's so much that you could do just outside. I mean, it's gorgeous out. Get outside, walk the dog. I mean, something as simple as that. Just have some, I think Craig Ballantyne puts it well. Just he has his, on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, it's just 30 minutes of activity, something that you want to do, something that's fun. I mean, don't mm-hmm. make it sound like it's, oh, I got to go to the gym and I have to run for 30 minutes. Like, mm-hmm. switch it up. Even I find switching up, just I'll go on a bike. I'll do all my cardio on a bike for a month, and I'll switch up, and I'll do a treadmill for a month. And I honestly find like it enjoyable to jump from one to the other because it's something different.
Right. Yeah, if you start to get stagnant or you start plateauing, then change your paradigm. You know, that's one of the best pieces of advice that I've heard from other folks and that I could give other folks as well.
And lastly, I just want to mention that Roland, or Lost Dog, on the JP Fitness boards, he actually brought up a great idea that I saw in one of the threads. And like everyone should, he follows John Berardi's 90% rule. So with the 90% rule, basically he has about 5 meals a week where he doesn't have to follow all of JB's rules to the T. He might say if it's like a company party, they might have pizza or something. So he'll carry around 5 cards with him, 5 note cards that basically say each one's his kind of not his cheat meal, but where he's kind of going off his goals for that particular week. And if he takes up one of those meals, he just takes out one of the cards and puts it aside. And like every time he takes out one of those cards, he just knows this is like a kind of like a gift meal where you're treating yourself for the work that you've done. So
nice. So he actually writes down whatever cheat meals he likes on 5 cards or whatever and pulls one out.
Yeah, I don't know if he was just making that up or if he really does it, but
that's a good idea, actually.
Yeah,
it's like a gambling thing. Big money, come on. Sweet strawberry shortcake.
I was just watching that the other day. You're talking about No Whammies?
Yeah, No Whammies. What is that game show?
Push Your Luck.
Push Your Luck,
oh,
that's right.
Yeah. Game Show Network, baby, DirecTV. That's a great show.
Nice.
If you've watched Push Your Luck back in the day, it's probably one of the most intense game shows ever. I think someone
intense
actually died during the taping
fashion.
Of it.
Are you serious?
No. That'd be horrible.
I would doubt it. Died from mental exhaustion. They got too many whammies.
God damn it. And then you have to try to get like 5,000 in a spin. I mean, I'm sorry, but that was right behind The Price is Right. That was my favorite show, like, growing up as a kid. I was a big game show. Off topic, but...
Yep.
Well, we should definitely not forget to mention our sponsors this week.
That's right. Thanks to our sponsors, number one, Turbulence Training. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat with turbulencetraining.com. And Greens Plus. Greens Plus for great health.
That'll pretty much wrap it up for this week's episode of the FitCast. FitCast episode number 12. Don't forget, next week we're going to have Cassandra Forsythe. You say it, John. You say it. You end the show this week, please, for me.
You know, I've read her last name but never said it. So I think Cassandra Forsythe. You know, I've heard other folks say it, but we know her from her writing, and we're excited to have her on next week. So, yeah, Kevin, I guess that wraps it up for this week's FitCast. What do you think?
That sounds good. We'll see everyone next week. Don't forget to download the show on iTunes and Podcast Alley. And start subscribing through iTunes again. We're starting to go down on the top 100. And just keep hitting subscribe again. Trust me, it works. It might be cheating, but that's how we roll with it, yes. We'll see you next time.
Thanks to our sponsors, number one, TurbulenceTraining.com, Boost Muscle Growth, and Blow Fat Body. That's like a tongue twister. Let me try that again.
You should just see how many times it took me to record that the very first time. It took me like maybe 10 or 12 times.
Really?
Hard. It's hard.
It's definitely, it doesn't seem hard, but man, when you try to say it, it's hard. Well, thanks to our sponsors, Turbulence Training, Boost Muscle Growth, and Blow Fat Body.
I'm keeping this in the show.
You know what? I jotted that down on a piece of paper so I wouldn't forget it or screw it up. And my piece of paper says, "Blow fat, body fat." I seriously think I'm losing it. Blow torch. There we go.